Okay, let's dive into something pretty profound and honestly a little bit, well, daunting. We're talking about facing death without the whole afterlife thing. You send in some excerpts from a book called, get this, Atheistically Happy Dying. It's by Clemens Lynchinger. And I gotta say, that title alone, it really makes you think, doesn't it?
It's definitely a bold choice, right?
Yeah.
But it gets at the heart of what this book is trying to do. It's not about arguing against God or heaven or anything. This one's specifically for people who already consider themselves atheists or skeptics, and they're looking for, I don't know, some kind of comfort or guidance when it comes to death.
Which is so refreshing, honestly, because even if you're not religious, like the idea of death, it can still bring up a whole bunch of emotions. You know, there's anxiety, sadness, this feeling of everything ending. It's a lot to deal with. And this book just seems like it's trying to give people actual tools to handle all of that.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. A lot of books for atheists are about like living a meaningful life, which is great, don't get me wrong. But when you're actually facing death, those ideas, they might not, I don't know, hit the same way. Lynchinger really gets that. He gets that we all need comfort and peace at the end, no matter what we believe about, well, you know, what happens after.
And he even gives this whole worldview a name, right? Transcendent skepticism. I was hoping maybe you could break that down a little for those of us who aren't philosophy professors or anything.
Yeah, so basically, transcendent skepticism, it's like, okay, imagine someone who doubts or just doesn't believe in the traditional idea of an afterlife or a soul that, you know, like floats away after you die. They're not necessarily saying it's impossible, but they're not building their understanding of death around those ideas.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like giving a label to a perspective that often gets kind of left out of these conversations about death and dying. Now, you mentioned the book structure really caught your eye. What was it about the way Lynchinger approaches this whole topic that stood out to you?
So it's divided into two parts, which I thought was really interesting. It's like he gets that coming to terms with death, it involves like our emotions and our thoughts, right? So the first part, it's all about comfort. It's got these thought-provoking quotes, and he even encourages you to like create a nice atmosphere, like pour a glass of wine, put on some music while you're reading, you know, really be present in the moment, not lost in like morbid thoughts.
I love that. It makes it feel less like, I don't know, a medical textbook and more like you're on this kind of personal journey with him.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's inviting you to really think about this stuff, but in a way that feels, you know, gentle and approachable.
Right.
And it all ties into this big theme that runs through the book and really through a lot of secular philosophy, finding meaning and joy in the here and now, especially when we're facing the reality that, well, our time is limited.
Which leads us perfectly to that excerpt you picked out from part two, where Lynchinger. He makes this, well, kind of a bold argument about what it actually means to be dead.
Yeah, this is where the book gets really interesting. He challenges the way we usually think about death, you know, like we often use death as this noun, this state of being.
Right.
But he's saying, hold on, what if it's more accurate to see death as like an event? Like it's the end of the process of living, not a state of being dead.
So instead of thinking I will be dead, it's more like my life will end. I'm trying to wrap my head around that one. That's pretty
I
mind-bending.
know, right? It really makes you think.
It does. So how does he actually get that across? Because it's one thing to say it, but it's another to really, I don't know, get it.
Well, he uses this analogy with a candle flame. So, like, you blow out a candle, and it's not like the flame is still, you know, hanging around somewhere in a state of not burning. It's just the burning is done. There's no more non-burning to worry about.
Okay, I think I see what he's getting at. It's like we talk about being dead as if it's this whole other thing, but he's saying it's more like, I don't know, turning off a light switch. It's not off, it's just that the electricity isn't flowing anymore.
Right, exactly. And that changes things, you know. Especially in the context of this book. Because if we're always afraid of this like vague idea of being dead that might not even be a thing, then that fear's not doing us any good. It just steals away the peace we could have right now.
Wow, it's true. We're so busy being scared of this thing, this being dead thing, that we forget to actually, live.
It's like we're constantly looking over our shoulder at a monster that's not even there.
Right. And Lynchinger saying, hey, turn around, enjoy the view.
Exactly. Especially when you're dealing with like a serious illness or, you know, you don't have much time left, holding on to that fear, it just makes everything harder.
Yeah.
He wants us to be free from that, you know?
Which I think is a really powerful message. Especially for folks who don't find comfort in the idea of an afterlife. It's not about false hope. He's just presenting a different way to think about death altogether.
Totally. And it's all rooted in logic, you know, and what we observe, not faith or anything. He even throws in some humor to get this point across about the language we use around death, I mean.
Oh, yeah. That part made me laugh out loud, I have to admit. He talks about how even when we're talking about death, we can't help but have a little grammar lesson.
He's got such a way with words, you know, but it really drives home his point. We're so used to saying things like, he is dead, or she is no longer with us, that to be verb, it kind of tricks us into thinking of death as this solid thing.
So by changing how we talk about it, even if it feels a little weird at first, we might actually change how we see death itself.
That's the idea. He's not saying it's a magic cure for being afraid of death, but it gives you a new way to think about it, a way that makes sense if you're skeptical or an atheist. And that new way of thinking, it opens up space for finding peace and meaning.
You know, that actually makes me think of this quote from the book that really stayed with me. Death is not an event in life. Death is not something one experiences. So simple, but wow.
Wittgenstein. He nailed it with that one. And that's really what Lynchinger's getting at. If we can just let that sink in, that death isn't something that happens to us, but it's the end of happening.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
It's like he's taking death, this scary, unknowable thing, and he's saying, hey, let's embrace the fact that we don't know. And somehow that makes it less scary.
And in that space where we accept that we don't know, that's where we can start to focus on what we do know, our lives, our loved ones, the things that bring us joy.
Instead of getting stuck on that forever box,
yeah,
we get to enjoy all the moments outside of it.
And focusing on those moments, that's what matters, especially when we're facing death. It means we can get to the end of our lives, not with fear, but with thankfulness. Gratitude for even having a life in the first place.
So how does all of this, like this new way of looking at death, connect back to finding comfort as an atheist? What's it offer someone who's, you know, facing the end of their life without believing in an afterlife?
Imagine this. You're not hoping for heaven, right? And you're not scared of hell either. But you're also not terrified of being dead because you've started to see it as, well, just the natural end to being alive.
Like you've gotten rid of this huge weight, this anxiety about death. That must be freeing.
It is. It frees you up to appreciate what you do have, instead of being scared of what you don't. And when that happens, you can start focusing on what really matters, your relationships, the things you want to experience, finding peace in the life you have now.
It's like instead of fixating on the forever box, as some might call it, you're savoring the moments you have outside of it.
And that shift in perspective, that appreciation for the present moment can be incredibly empowering, especially when facing the reality of death. It allows you to approach the end of your life not with dread and fear, but with a sense of gratitude and peace.
It's about realizing that our time is, you know, it's not forever, and then choosing to make those moments mean something instead of letting that big what if after death hang over everything.
And that's something everyone can connect with, I think, even if they're not atheist or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a reminder to like really live, to appreciate how amazing and fragile life is. And when it comes to death, not to be afraid, but to accept it. Maybe even be thankful, you know, that we got to experience life at all.
It's like Lynchinger saying, forget the rule book on dying. Here's how to do it on your own terms, mm-hmm. even without religion telling you what to do.
Right. And that's so important, especially because, let's be real, people don't like talking about death. But he's saying, no, let's be honest about it. Let's look at our fears and find peace within ourselves instead of looking for it in some belief system.
This whole conversation has been really, I don't know, it makes you think. And I bet it's got our listeners doing some thinking too. So before we finish up this deep dive, is there like one big thing you hope sticks with people
mm-hmm.
as they keep wrestling with these big questions? I mean,
you know, if there's one thing people take away from atheistically happy dying, I hope it's that they're not alone in being afraid. In not knowing. And more importantly, there are so many ways to find peace. You don't have to follow a certain religion. Lynchinger gives us this whole new way to look at death, with courage, with dignity, even with hope. And that's something everyone can hold on to, no matter what they believe.
It all comes back to like how we live our lives really shapes how we face the end of it.
Totally. And honestly, embracing the mystery of it all instead of being scared of it, that can be the most freeing thing of all.
This has been such an insightful look at, well, something that affects us all, right? And something that's so personal, too. To everyone listening, we hope this deep dive has given you some new things to think about. And maybe even a bit of peace as you, you know, figure out your own way of dealing with death.